Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on February the 4th, 2014, in a very snowy Toronto. I was reading the Radin report today, R-A-D-I-N, and I noticed that Bill Radin looks a little like Larry David. And the article I was reading could have been called Curb Your Enthusiasm for Recruiting People from Your Clients' Direct Competitors. Bill says it makes obvious sense to hire someone who already knows the products and already knows the market, but unfortunately, it's not always as peachy keen as it seems. It's a sucker's game. That's what he's telling us. Here's why. Number one, the non-compete clause. Bill says he recruited a director of sales who was very interested in working for his client, and the client company was willing to go all the way when it came to doing battle in court with the source company if necessary, but just the idea of a complex, never-ending legal entanglement, that scared the candidate away. Number two issue, location. Bill says the chances are the competitor is in another town, and Bill says with spousal careers, that means your husband or wife also has a job, spousal careers and the problems with the real estate market, he's never seen as much resistance to location or relocation. That's what I meant to say. He hasn't seen so much resistance to relocation as there is today, and he's been working in this job for 30 years. You know, Bill says he was recently working on a VP role, a vice president role in Kansas City. Great salary, but he couldn't find a candidate who was willing to relocate. And finally, issue number three, inbreeding. I don't know if that's politically correct today, that term. He means professional inbreeding. He says if an industry never brings in new people, it can become complacent. Complacent. He says it'll turn you into a zombie company, a zombie company. And I got to say, that sounds reasonable, but I'd have to see some proof to see if it's really true, because I don't know. Anyway, here's how Bill solved his problem in Kansas City. He went and told the client that since there were no local competitors and he was unable to attract someone from far away, they had to go with someone local who had enough of the essential qualities to do the job, you know? But I suspect that if that was the best hire, if that was really what you should do, you know, to avoid inbreeding, I'm sure he would tell everybody, every client, to go that route, even if there was a local competitor. Why not hire someone outside the industry, you know? But that's really not the case. You really want insiders. Now, I know everybody I'm talking to knows all this stuff, but I think it's valuable to hear what happens to an expert like Bill Radin. He has the same problems as you, and that's one goal of this show. We want to know what other recruiters do, not only to pick up new techniques, but to see if they have the same problems we do, and that's why we challenge them to tell us the truth on Jerry. Yeah. Jerry! What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry!
Thank you, Animal, for letting me be a part of this show.
You know what? I got to tell you
something,
everybody, and Jerry, everybody. We got a nice guy on today. I was begging for help, for, you know, volunteers to be guests on this show. This guy raised his hand. But, you know, I got to say, at the same time, he's a bit of a slacker. I asked him to read up about the show. I asked him to prepare for the show. He didn't. He never even listened to a show. He doesn't know what's going on. So if things go wrong, I want to say I'm not responsible, although I know Rebecca Sargent would tell me I am. Rebecca, are you here by any chance? Rebecca, are you on the show? Let me introduce the guest. Martin Hawk the Hawk, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, pep it up a bit.
Pep it up. We're going to need more from you, Martin.
Yeah, don't sound like you're lying under your desk after a hard night, okay? That's not how – you know, Martin.
I can't help it. I've been under the weather for the last 3 days. The Super Bowl came and then
– I don't care. On with the show. The show must go on. Look, Martin, you don't realize something. I spoke to the guest just before the show. He doesn't realize this is a real show. It's not just a throwing-together thing. Jerry, tell him.
This is real, dude. This is on the Internet, and everything on the Internet is real.
There's lots
this
of
is real
regular listeners. There's regular listeners. It's not, you know, just something you can throw away. I don't have to care if I look good or not.
Regular
not
listeners
it.
On several continents.
Yeah.
I mean, just for some perspective.
Okay, Martin, let's start off. Let's get started. You know Stephen Harper? Remember him?
Yep.
He's the prime minister of our country. You're a Canadian, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't you know how you shouldn't be delaying to answer that question? Okay.
I thought he was in Detroit.
So what's your thoughts on Harper then?
Yeah, here's the thing. Martin, he likes to go and sing Hey Jude. We're going to sing with him, okay, you and me. Is that right? You ready?
All right.
Okay, so I'll play the tape for a second, and then you'll get the idea, and then we'll sing together. Okay, here you go.
Hey Jude!
Okay, he did that a couple of weeks ago in Jerusalem, but he's done it all over the country as well. Are you ready? So we'll let him say, hey, Jude, and then we'll follow up. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah, don't delay. When I say something, don't hesitate. Just answer me right away.
Hey, Animal. I'm gonna be out for just a few minutes. I have to dig up my pile of stuff for when the show goes off track real early.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be prepared for about 3 minutes because this one's off the rails, buddy.
Okay,
so
okay.
Bye. I'm digging here.
Martin, you get ready. Okay, we're going to go. As soon as he says it, let's do it fast. It's dying already, okay? Hold on. Ready? So here it goes.
And you.
Okay, now you and me. To sing with our prime minister. I do. I like the guy. Okay. But you're going to answer questions, Martin. You're not going to refuse to answer, are you?
No, Martin? Not at all. I'm not delaying at all. There might be something with my phone. I'm not sure.
What kind of phone are you on? What kind of phone are you
on? I'm on a BlackBerry.
Okay. Well, you're supposed to be on a landline.
No,
you're supposed to be on a landline. Supposed to be. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Resume Strategy. She's back on the show for, you know, first time in 6 months or even longer. Anyway, how many people did you recruit on Twitter last year?
Me?
Yeah, you're the guest.
Absolutely none as far as placing them. I got maybe 10 people in, though.
Oh, my.
You recruited?
And you call yourself a recruiter then?
Yeah.
And you didn't make any placement on Twitter?
But that's he like 10 people.
Yeah, I got 10 candidates to come in from Twitter.
But they're no good? They were
sticker.
No good? Were they any
no.
good? Okay, how many did you...
I have one I'm in touch with. One I'm in touch with that I will place. I just need the right role.
Okay, and this guy places salespeople for the industrial and construction equipment, right? What kind of tools? Is it what kind of products are they selling?
Anything that keeps a manufacturing site running or anything that keeps a construction site running, the salespeople between that, either distribution,
OEM. You know what? I don't know
OEM.
What that means. What do they sell? Tools or what?
Yeah, anything, you know, in a maintenance department and a craft cookie plant or something like that. They've got nuts, bolts, they've got face masks, they've got safety equipment, they've got
ball bearings,
hand tools, they've
ball
got
bearings. Ball bearings?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, okay. I've recruited in that field before, and I found that the people were very – none of those people were on LinkedIn or anywhere online. Are they these days? Has it changed? Do you find those people on LinkedIn?
I would say it's probably 10% of the people are on LinkedIn.
Okay, especially – I used to work also on inside salespeople in those industrial supply companies. You know, I mean, they were – they weren't the kind of guys you find on LinkedIn. I don't think one of them was on LinkedIn. Are any of the inside salespeople at industrial supply companies on LinkedIn, yes or no?
Yes.
The younger ones or the –
The younger ones? If you're
going
to have any luck on inside sales, I would go straight – if I was doing an inside sales search, I would go straight to Facebook.
Really? You recruit on Facebook?
A diamond mine for that stuff. The graph search is awesome for that.
Ooh.
Yeah, but do they list their jobs? I find people never list their job titles or anything like that on Facebook.
People who like customer service or people who work in customer service, boom. You've got in Toronto.
Or people who like former employees of this company that has tons of inside salespeople. You really got to get with that.
Graph search has been awesome.
Okay, give us an example. I'm amazed by this. This is something new for us. Can you walk us through a search where you actually found the person on Facebook?
Yeah. So I was looking for a, what was it, sort of a cross between inside sales, outside sales, like 30% inside, 70% outside. They wanted them to come from the inside space, but they wanted to put them into the outside space. And it was for a sanitation company, so, you know, chemicals to clean the floors, hand sanitizer, anything that you would use in a building on a large scale. So I just went to Facebook. You type in people who used to work or work for X company, and then it pulls up the list. And then the nice thing is on this right-hand side of the screen, if you've got a Facebook account, it lets you narrow it down by all the metrics that you can't even touch on LinkedIn. So if you want somebody between the ages of 25 and 50, whatever, you have the option to select that. Then if you want to
Hold on. I'm missing this part. Are you talking about some Facebook search tool or what?
Yeah. It's the graph search. So if you go into Facebook account at the very top,
okay.
you type in people who work at Cintas, let's just say. So people who work at Cintas in Toronto, Ontario, or wherever you're at. And then it'll pull up, you know, it'll show the results, and there's probably going to be, you know, 500 people. Or if it's really vague, it's going to, if you don't even put a city, you'll have more than that. And then you can just drill it down by people based on the criteria on the right-hand side. So it's got probably 6 or 7, you know, which high school did they go to? Just sort of like the filter on LinkedIn, but it gives you some other options that LinkedIn doesn't even touch for obvious reasons.
Okay, so keep walking us. Which company did you pick? The most prominent company in the field? People who were associated with this company in the past?
Well, they gave me a few companies to look at that would be ideal for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I throw in a few of those, and I look up all of them. I print them off, and those are the people I'm calling for the next day or two.
Okay, so you pull up a list of people. Like, how many people do you think you got from that search?
Probably got about 15 heard back.
No, but I mean total, not net, not after you screen them out. How many did it bring up total, 15?
No. After of the three companies they gave me to check after,
yep.
I probably got 300
Whoa!
Results.
Whoa! Those people
hey, animal,
all put
it gets
that...
worse.
Sorry?
Who's this? Jim Durbin.
It's Durbin. You can upload email list. So if you have a list of all those people, you then have their IDs. You can upload that to a file and send Facebook ads just to those 300 people. Saying, hey, you work at this company, come talk to me. Just
okay.
Those 300 people.
That's the famous Jim Durbin, Martin. You're going to get to know him if you're around. Okay, so let me ask, how did you approach those people, Martin?
Well, it's kind of, I mean, if you're going on Facebook, it's kind of this you're entering sort of this private zone almost. You know, people expect privacy. The big thing on Facebook is privacy, privacy, privacy. But at the end of the day, it's a flattering call to get a call from a recruiter either. It's annoying.
So you phone them.
Or,
You don't message them through Facebook. Is that what you're saying?
I'll shoot them a message on Facebook first. If I don't get anything, then I'm going to call them. That's, you know, next step, obviously.
Yeah, but if you're not a friend of somebody and you send them a message through Facebook, and Jim Durbin can jump in here if he wants to, doesn't it go to something called the other mailbox that no one ever knows about and they don't get any message that there's information there? Is that a problem?
It might hit their spam. I don't really think so, though.
It does go into another mailbox.
If you're not a friend or if they change the settings, it's listed in the other file, or you have to pay $1. So you have to connect to one of their friends. Or once you have their name, you can go into the Facebook API Explorer and pull their email out, and then there's a ton of information. Once you know their name, you can dig in. You can get all the contact information you need.
How? How do you get the contact information, Jim? I don't understand.
You have to be a super smart marketer. You just go to Facebook Graph Explorer.
Yeah.
And when you do that, once you have the ID, which is their name, it's like URL cracking. So once you have the actual name, you can get an access token, and that has all the information that Facebook has for advertising purposes, from what games they like, to the credit card information, to where they live, to the phone numbers they've got listed, to the friends, the Facebook.
Okay, but either
90% of most recruiters won't touch that, but you can at least pull the name and it gives you the email and a phone number. That's all
Mark,
available.
Do you know that?
The first thing you were talking about there, Jim, I guess I didn't know about that, but I mean
you're still 95% above what other recruiters are doing on Facebook, so I got to give you props.
But listen, Martin. When you message people on Facebook, do you get replies, or let me ask Jim another question. Jim, if you message someone through Facebook who's not your friend and it goes to the other mailbox, they don't get notified about it. Am I right?
No, they don't, and you never see it. I've got stuff from 6 months ago that I never see. So what you do is you have to figure out mutual friends, but you can look for mutual friends, and if they've got their settings, you can send them a message in the tree, or you go through their list of friends, find some business or someone who looks like a friend whore, and add them as a friend, and then you can send a message.
They got friend whores on Facebook. I never heard that before.
Yeah, people like me who accept anybody who's not a spammer.
I accept anybody as well. I'm a connection whore, I guess you'd call me on LinkedIn. Linked to me on LinkedIn today, Miss Beatrice. She's looking for friends, men or women. Okay, and so that was from LinkedIn, not even from Facebook. So let's go back to our friend here, Martin, you're turning into a better guest than I expected. I'm patting you on the back, okay? This is very good, and I got the expertise of Jim Durbin, the great Jim Durbin, to back you up. I mean, I'm very impressed. I'm happy.
Can you help clarify, though? I'm trying to find this Facebook graph search, and I'm not seeing it anywhere.
They make it seem so ridiculous. It's literally
API.
Just a search.
Hold on, I got two answers going on.
No, more than that. There's Facebook Graph Search is just the search now for you, but Facebook Graph Explorer is the API that marketers use to target ads at you.
Yeah.
So I would not touch that, Jerry. It's super advanced, but it's
where's the Facebook Graph?
That's the regular search,
Facebook
Jerry.
Facebook Graph Explorer. I think it's API. It's a developer section of Facebook. It's available to everybody.
Well, so I'm up in the standard Facebook search box. Now, I'm not coming up with anybody. People who work at GM, you're not going to get anybody. People who work at
it autofills for you. So
it's not as easy as you think to do those searches.
Right.
You search CAs in San Francisco, there's only three. If, however, you search CPAs or now CFOs, you get hundreds. It's not what you think. It's not like LinkedIn where you can grab information.
Right.
So depending on what they put out there.
I was just going with Martin's example, which was cool, but when I do it, I get nobody.
You might be typing the wrong thing in.
Like, I'd like to find people who work at Kmart, and nobody.
You put people who work in Kmart?
No, I'm putting anything. I'm doing anything and everything. I'm getting no people.
Like, go search former employees of New Balance, and you'll get tons of them, or former employees of JCPenney who live in Plano. You get a ton of information from those. It's also not comprehensive, though. They have to enter the information. But there's a bunch in there. I mean, you know.
Okay.
If you put in people who work at Kmart, I just got a ton of results of people who like the Kmart page and all of their profiles.
So that's part of it, too. You have to search that way.
Right.
You have to hope they like Kmart. And now you're getting a bunch of customer service representatives, too, which is why it's very good for those type of positions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the same thing. If you're searching for CEOs or CPAs or when we materials engineers or automotive engineers, you got to be careful because they use different names. But if you can figure out that they all like the same conference, so if they all go to the same conference, people who checked in at this conference or who like this conference, and that'll give you a list, and they don't all have the same title. It takes some doing.
You can also do
that
with companies, too. You can say people who like the company that they work for or used to work for.
Let's let the guests
say. Okay, so it's not a real targeted thing, then. It's just generic bullshit.
Oh, come on, Jerry. The guy's recruiting people from there.
People who like Kmart? I don't want people who like. I want software developers or database administrators or people who work in the IT department of Kmart. And I'm trying that, and it just doesn't come up. It's just very broad.
Martin Hawk.
It's a harder
Martin Hawk.
That. It's not designed for recruiting. You have to learn to hack it. That's
right, exactly. So it's the long way around the barn, frankly.
Hold on a second. Martin Hawk.
But
Mr.
it's a
guest.
Bigger pool.
My
yeah,
guest, Martin Hawk. Martin Hawk.
Yeah.
If you were recruiting IT developed programmers who like Kmart or like one of your own clients, how would you do that search?
So I would put in IT developers or whatever. I don't do IT, but I would just put in a few of the job titles. I'd mess around with a few different searches, but it would be IT developers who like, you know, maybe a competitor like Kmart or JCPenney, or IT developers who works at some point. It'll say, and it'll give you options. As you're typing it, just like in Google, when it'll pop up with different you know, it'll give you suggestions.
Autofills, what Jim meant when he said it autofills.
Yeah,
and
a lot of my autofills, it's not wanting to give me what I'm looking for, so that just means that there are none, probably, I guess. I don't know.
No, it means that it's not trying to give you that information. It's trying to find one of those developers, like the movies.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Okay.
It's better for inside salespeople, hands down, in customer service. When you get into the bigger technical sales, or it gets a lot trickier. You kind of have to think outside of the box. One of the things that I like is the fact that, you know, you can search based on what people like. So, you know, you could say, and we were talking about companies earlier, but it sounds ridiculous, but if I've got a company that comes to me and says, hey, do you want a sales guy? But he needs to be handy. He needs to, like, larger equipment, so boom, I can go salespeople in Toronto that like, you know, ice road truckers. It sounds ridiculous, but at least you know something about their personality already. Or salespeople in Oshawa.
Now that I'm figuring this out, everybody, let's keep a lid on this. Keep it quiet. Keep it quiet.
You might
be onto something here. So just clam it up. What's the next subject?
No, I just want to finish off this. So you got those guys, and you didn't message them through Facebook, because that's a big problem we just talked about.
We did.
If you...
Like, I've found a guy right here I'd like to connect with, okay?
What should Jerry do, Mark?
You can pay a dollar.
What should he do? He should find out where he works.
And after one of his friends...
So there's no real direct... Okay. So really, you're just going to do your research on Facebook and then go through your own various ways of getting in touch with the person.
They have a Twitter account, then I'll see if they have... I check all the social media sites to see if some way I can reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't work, I'm just going to go try and call them at work. Standard people, pick up the phone.
Okay, everybody who's interested in this should go to the Twitter page of Resume Strategy. She's doing all these searches and supplying the URLs that, you know, Jerry can't find, okay? She's a little smarter than him, and she's on the show today. Okay, great. Okay, Martin, so you actually played someone?
I did a webinar last week teaching people this, too.
Oh, yeah? Okay. You want to do a plug? Do you have an ad or something, Jim, that you'd like to do? If only you were on a good phone. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I'm on my cell phone. So the cool thing about inside sales is you got to figure someone's not going to drive across the Metroplex. So with Facebook, you can actually search near where they live. It's not just Dallas. You can pick a specific city and then nearby, which is a much better filter than what LinkedIn does, because you're looking at their home or you're looking at where they work. So if they already make a commute, you can find people who work in an area already, and that allows you to target in a way that LinkedIn does not. Monster lets you do it, but LinkedIn doesn't.
Okay, Daryl Disco is complaining that she's got the Jerry complaint. Talk to Resume Strategy, okay? She'll straighten you out, Disco. Know it all. Yesterday, he tried to show me
all of a sudden, Resume Strategy is the expert here? She jumps back on the show after 6 months.
Yeah, she's doing
better
than
you. No, she's not. She doesn't know what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
I just had a question to clarify for the other people, dude. Not me.
Yeah, okay.
Gosh, you still don't know what I do here, do you?
Thank you, Jerry.
He's asking for a friend.
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Jerry, search engineers who live in Michigan and like Ford.
Okay,
I'm all over this. I like it. Now let's keep this our little secret. Move on.
Hey, Jeff, talk to me. Are you there?
Yeah, this is probably a relevant question considering it may be a bit of a segue into a different discussion, but ultimately I'm interested to know what everybody's take on if you're using Facebook already to recruit. Do you have a personal account and a professional account? Do you guys split it up? How do you guys work it?
Jim can answer that.
Do you
want to take care
already?
Of that? Jim?
If you're going to research, you use a personal account. If you're going to use a business account, you got to realize that Facebook knows it's a business account, so you have to set up brand new emails and not mix the two profiles, which is very hard. It's against the TOS, and they don't want you. They want to. It depends if you get caught doing so. If you're messaging people, you shouldn't do it from your personal account because half the people want to talk to you, half are furious at the idea that you're even looking at what they're doing. So if you're sending messages, the problem is that people may go, "That's great, I can't believe you're talking to me," and others may go, "Screw you, I'll burn you to the ground and talk about you all the time." And then your account gets booted. So if you care about your Facebook account, you should probably use it for sourcing. And then 6 months, it may be down the road, Facebook's going to launch some type of jobs or recruiting thing. And then everybody's going to jump on board.
We know a lot of experts on creating false accounts. If you need one, I'll just contact Animal and I'll point you in the right direction. Okay, who's playing the music for me?
What is that?
Who's playing the music for me? Yeah, gee whiz. I have to go through every single. Let's see if it's that guy. 512. Not 512.
Not the 512. That's not Blake Cannon then. Blake, are you listening?
210.
No.
734. Not 734.
I am listening, but that's not.
Are there only like five of us on there anyway?
No, there's a lot of people. It's going to take me a minute. Sorry, everybody. There it is, 303. It's 303. Where's that?
Denver?
That's Denver.
303.
Yeah, Colorado.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't want to say who lives in Colorado. Okay. So, listen, you're recruiting now in the same industry where you yourself were a salesperson before. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, has that been an asset for you? Do you know all the hiring managers already?
Yeah, I mean, I've already got – there's a certain amount of clout. It's not like I was in the industry for an extended period of time in comparison, probably. I'm certainly younger and everybody's
Are you kidding? Your cheesy LinkedIn summary says after 10 years of working within every aspect of sales – with some of North America's largest industrial and construction distributors, Martin, in the third person. I don't know. Why would you talk about yourself in the third person on a personal profile? We all know you wrote it yourself. It's not like the Prime Minister giving you the Order of Canada. Why don't you say, not only that, you say, Martin has now taken on the world of recruitment for that same industry with Canada's most exceptional firm, blah, blah, I won't say the name of the company. Why go over the top? Is that tongue-in-cheek? Is that a joke that we can, say, we get that? You know, well, is it serious? How do you know they're the most exceptional firm? People look at that stuff and they say.
He writes in the third person because he is younger and it makes him seem like he's older. But we're older,
so
he's done by using the word I. Very common.
You guys,
yeah,
they guys
okay.
need to cut out the
come
bullshit after a certain age.
Yeah, you know what? Change it. Say, you're a real person. It's not your mom, right, you know, bragging about, my son works for the best search firm in the world. Yeah, don't.
I got her to write it, though.
Yeah, okay.
She's the one that wrote it. I didn't write it.
Yeah,
I got her
okay.
to write it.
Okay. You shouldn't be telling us
there
your mom wrote
good.
It for
other
no, I'll consider
unless
that.
Your mother's
I'll
a professional. It. You know what? Resume strategy, who I mentioned already, is a professional resume writer. Her son can say, I got my mom to write it for me. It's like saying I got a pro to do it, okay? Okay. So, Kathy Manis, I forgot. Hello. You said hi. That's the famous Kathy Manis. Anybody else on the line who'd like to say something who, you know, is shy? This is your time. Going to give you some time. There's lots of people here. Do you have a question for Martin or Jim or Jerry or anybody? Mm-hmm. Somebody want to talk? No? Okay, see, you know
so
what?
I'm busy recruiting, man. I got a whole ton of people I need to call this afternoon.
Okay. Well, Jerry finally learned something on the show. Isn't that a miracle?
I'm going to start a new group on Facebook called Recruiters
uh-huh.
Who Actually Make Placements on Facebook.
Uh-huh. What do you know?
Yeah. Get ready for it.
Yeah, where's the
make
part
sure you write
explain?
That page in third person, okay, Jerry?
Yeah.
Jerry's too smart for that. He's like, he's one of the guys. He doesn't talk like that, okay? Okay, here. Oh, here's from Jerry.
He would if he needed
Jerry
to. Bill was okay. Animal was okay. But the show itself, I just.
Same old thing.
As a recruiter, there's nothing I'm going to now take to my desk. And I am in a state of constant listening, learning, and applying. That's my thing. I got nothing for this show. I'm not going to do anything new. That's what I'm looking for in my learning phase of my career.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Okay. Okay,
so
Mark.
Is it not the norm? I'm surprised. Like, it's not the norm to recruit from the own industry that you came from originally? Or you guys been recruiters
Nobody's
all
really
your life?
Jerry recruits IT people. He's never programmed anything in his life.
No, heavens no.
That blows my mind.
Okay, well, you don't know much about recruiting
I think
yet, buddy.
He failed at everything else and had to recruit. It was kind of a left, you know. That's
hey,
all I had left.
Amy Alla. Okay,
ooh.
that's true. Okay.
HR
Amy. HR Amy, okay. Okay, look, let's get back to work here. Okay, how long, once you've got someone's resume, how long does it take you to interview them?
Probably about 20 to 45 minutes, depending.
Really?
You're wasting about 20 minutes there, man.
Yeah.
We covered this last week. You can fully vet and interview a guy in about 180 seconds. Was that it?
No, 5 minutes. Could you
interview
somebody in 5 minutes?
No, not even
minutes?
That long.
Could you interview someone
so
in 5 minutes?
So that's the distance. Are you guys doing it over the phone? Like 99%
yeah.
of the time?
Yeah.
I see my candidates. I don't send a candidate to a client unless I've met them in person.
Why?
I remember those days.
Why? Why, Martin?
Due diligence.
No, why? What are you going to miss out if you don't see them? They don't comb their hair the way you like?
Really?
It's different meeting someone face to face.
That matters.
It's a different skill set.
One of my recruiters yesterday said he had to go meet his candidate in person for a cup of coffee at about 11 o'clock. He didn't come back.
Okay, there's that, too.
No more personal interviews.
Really?
Okay,
what
do you get out of meeting these people? I mean, they're already professionals working. You have to assume they know how to dress. How many times do you tell someone, I don't like the way you're dressed, don't wear that to the interview?
Oh, dude, you're so off base with that question, Animal. You don't
no,
see the value in
the
actually
people.
Meeting people? If it's feasible, do it. Gosh.
Okay.
Typical
Martin,
shut-in perspective.
Ignore,
why go see people?
Can you answer the question? Martin, can you answer the question? How many times have you told someone, don't dress like that at the interview?
Probably once a month. I probably interview 20 people in person every week. So
okay.
Once a month.
Out of 80 people, you get one. 80 people, you get
yeah.
one Yeah, okay. So that's a real waste of time. Okay, and so what else is there that you get out of meeting? So it's the dress code. Is there anything else that you get out of meeting them that you wouldn't get over the phone?
It's a bit of a personal touch.
Okay.
There's a difference. There's a whole different dynamic when you meet somebody in person and you're talking to them only, you know, over the phone.
I got to tell
there's
you something.
I met
tons of people in person for the first few years I worked in this business, and there's absolutely no difference, except, you know, you're dragging the person downtown or whatever part of the city you're living in. So instead of taking him, you know, a half an hour or an hour of his time or her time, you're taking 4 hours of their time or 3 hours of their time. You know, that's a waste of time. You're recruiting professionals already. The odd time there's going to be a problem like that, I've had that problem myself. I sent out somebody in HR. They said, did you meet her? I said, no. And, well, they didn't like the way she did her hair. They didn't like, you know, her weight. I wouldn't rule out anybody for that reason anyway. So,
well,
go ahead.
He had mentioned that he was recruiting for internal, inside salespeople with very limited experience. Maybe he needs to screen these guys and get his eyeballs on them to make sure they know how to dress the part for
Who's telling me that? Who's defending the guest against me? Todd?
I'm not defending the guest. I'm just saying maybe he's hiring, you know, people that are much more entry level that he does need to make sure they know how to shake somebody's hand.
Let me teach you something. That was one example. That wasn't everybody, okay?
Okay.
That was
that's the example that he provided.
Okay.
That's the example he provided. That's what I'm saying.
What do you do? Are you limiting your candidate pool to people that you can drive to? I recruit people from all over the place, including Canada. I'm not going to go to Toronto and meet them.
We only work within our market. I mean, if they're outside of my area, I'm going to do a Skype interview or at least spend, you know, 30 minutes or 45 minutes on the phone with them at the very least. But, I mean, everybody that I send, I've met in person.
All right, I accept Skype as an answer.
And there are even, you know, there are companies that require you to do that because they've been burned by someone who does a phone interview and they send someone else. We've all seen this.
We're not a.
I've never heard of it.
We don't do. We don't. I mean, that's part of comes with the due diligence. We've met these people that has value to the clients that we work with.
Not really.
Because then they
don't.
It absolutely does. It has value to the clients because the clients come back to us and they say,
right.
You know what, we've worked with firms in the past that only send people they haven't even met and they're clueless. So they come back to us and they say, hey, we really appreciate the fact that you're meeting these people and vetting them.
Well,
it's a quality control.
It's making sure that you're taking that extra step. Yeah, so they're telling you, don't screw this up.
Okay.
Animal, are you saying that you see no value at all in this?
Almost none.
That's so absurd.
Almost none. You're not recruiting people from college, Jerry. You're recruiting people who are already professionals in the field. You talk to them on the phone.
Allegedly already professionals in the field.
Okay, let's move
allegedly.
On.
Allegedly.
Do you use job boards, Martin? Do you advertise on job boards, or did you, you know, do some other kind of direct
recruiting?
I post every role. And so what's your response to the job?
When I get an order from a client, my industry isn't necessarily – it's not like I've met candidates from that industry, obviously. So I have to start from scratch. I sometimes meet a guy who's sold abrasives to distributors for the last 10 years. That's not somebody that's going to come to me on a regular basis, and it's not like there's a lot of people. So when I see those people, I want to reach out to them at that time when they come in on the job board.
Yeah, I don't understand a word you said.
Do you use job boards?
Go ahead.
I have a question. So, how do you craft this posting? Do you copy and paste the employer's original job posting that they sent you?
No,
or
they're
do
terrible.
You jazz it up.
Employer stuff is terrible. When they tell me their absolute must-haves and their must-needs, and then I talk to the hiring manager, and the hiring manager goes through what they're looking for. That's what I post. I simplify it.
A really sexy copy then. You take the nonsense that your client gives you and you make it something hot and you put that on Monster. Is that what you're saying? Because I want to go read your stuff.
I wouldn't call it sexy, so to speak, because I try and keep it as simple as possible. One page doesn't have all of the fluff like, oh, must have great communication skills or all that nonsense. It's must have sold abrasives 5+ years. You know, college degree required, university completed as a preference,
so
but not necessary?
It's just a list of requirements, so it doesn't sound like it's that different from what corporations are doing.
No, and then I'll post the salary range that I know. I'll post the target. That'll be part of the title, so when my tweets go out and when my bullhorn stuff goes out and all that stuff, it's got the on-target earnings right in the post right there, so people
really?
Can automatically qualify
really?
Whether or not they're in.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me an example of that.
So you post a role. The title is, you know, outside sales representative, on-target earnings, $80K.
Okay. Does anybody
and
see a problem there? Does anybody see a problem with that? So what if they offer them less than 80? You know, I assume that's base and commission package estimated, right?
You're lowballing the number to a certain degree. If they get more, you're under-promising and over-delivering.
Okay,
I'm
so you lowball.
I'm not going to put something that's not tangible because then I've got a fall-off in 3 months because they're
yeah,
looking
if
the numbers
lowball,
and they're saying
if
themselves.
If you lowball the number, you're not going to attract the guys at the people at the top end, the really good people, right?
I'm not relying on the job boards. If the job boards were my be-all, end-all, then that's a whole different ballgame. That terrifies me to rely on the job boards. It's just a backup. I would go through the job board postings primarily to ensure that I'm seeing everybody. And if a few of the people, I probably get maybe 90 replies to a posting on average, and I'll probably bring in 5 to 10 of them to meet with.
You get 90 replies to every job, and some of them are just totally unqualified people. Is that right?
Well, I don't bring in the unqualified. Majority of it is. Oh, yeah. And that's why I've gotten more stringent on my postings, and that's why I've kind of simplified it. If you don't have this, don't bother. And then on top of that, when I post the job, I ask them to come back to me with some specific reasons why. Don't just reply back to me with a resume. Tell me why. Show me some evidence that you are actually a top performer like you're supposed to be for this position. And then some of them will come back to me with a – I look for anything creative. As long as they can prove it, they'll show me a picture of some awards that they won or something.
Okay, well, that's nice and unconcrete. Okay, well, if you find someone on Facebook, you find someone on Facebook and you look up the company, you're calling that person at work, what's your recruiting cold call?
It's usually, is now a good time to talk? That's obviously you're leading with that. And, you know, I'm from the industry that you're working within.
Okay, do it with
and
Amy,
I'm looking,
Amy,
I found
Amy,
you on Facebook,
Amy.
Basically,
call Amy.
Yeah,
call
I'm
Amy.
Here, I'm here.
Call Amy and recruiter. What is she? What's her title?
Hello, Amy speaking.
No, tell, what's
Hi,
she going to tell
Martin
you what you
from,
are? Okay, go ahead.
Salesperson, right? I sell ball bearings.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Amy, I'm from the industry. I'm recruiting now. Probably not a good time for you to talk because I called you at work. Hoping we can chat. Give me, you know, anytime that's convenient for you to talk, and we'll go from there.
I'm sorry, who are you? Who are you with?
My name's Martin. I'm with Animal Recruiting.
Oh, thanks, Martin. Yeah, you know, I'm really happy where I'm at right now, but thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, have you ever considered other options at all?
You know, I'm doing really well where I'm at. I thank you so much for calling. You know, you're only the third person today, so I guess it's a slow day. But thanks again, and good luck.
Remind me not to do improv with Amy.
Oh, dude, she wants it sexy. She said that earlier.
You gotta,
that was not
you
sexy.
You got to give me something to sink my teeth into, you know?
Yeah.
And as a salesperson,
if I could promise you a 15% bump and increase in salary,
nice
is that something you'd be interested
because
in?
I don't want to burn bridges, but there's nothing in that pitch that makes me want to listen.
What would you want? If Jim just suggested something, what would you want to hear, Amy, from him?
I want to hear, okay, for real, like the real answer, I want to hear, oh, my God, Amy, we're so happy the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. Can we talk about that for a second? Hell, yeah, we can.
You want a personal pitch?
Trying facts is something that's not the job. The talk about, you know, my latest
blog.
No,
you know, so many people hate that. No, what about those?
How's the weather, Amy? Oh, yeah. Amy wants you to ask about the weather.
It's that tired old, hey, I've got a job, you know, you want to buy a chicken or whatever the hell we say. I mean,
what about if he said, Amy, I saw your picture on LinkedIn. You look like a great candidate for me. What if he did that?
That might work on some days, you know, bad hair day. I might want to hear that. But, no, I mean, you know, do you have time to talk? Nope. Are you buying ball bearings? I don't have time to talk to you. You know, would you consider a change? Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, but there's nothing, thank you. There's nothing compelling there that makes
what
you want to
what
listen.
What about what Jim said? I find Jim.
I disagree. I mean,
my boss. Please, thank you. Boss.
Here, Amy, let me try it.
Okay. Am I still selling ball bearings? I do something
no,
more
you just you just when you tell me something like I'm happy where I am, I'm doing really well. And
so start from the start. Start from the start, Jim. Jim, start from the start. Just call her up.
Ring.
Hello, Amy speaking.
Hi, Amy. This is Jim Durbin. I'm a recruiter for sales guys, and I'm trying to find someone who's just at the top of their game. Do you have a few minutes to talk today?
Define top of their game, Jim.
I'm looking for somebody who's doing well enough that the company doesn't want to lose them and they want to make a little more money. Or they're reaching a point where they're like, you know what, I can do better. I need more support. I've looked at your profile online. I like what I see. You know, the question is, have you ever thought about what your career might look like? What were your aspirations? And would you like to talk about where you want to go in the future?
You know, Jim, actually, I would be open. The thing is, though, you know, my boss does kind of watch what we do during the day. So can we set up a time to talk after hours?
Of course. Email, text, Twitter, what do you want me to do? What's the best way to reach out to you?
All right. I'm going to give you my email, and if you can shoot me
Can I have your personal cell phone?
That'll be my personal email.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I got to tell you, Martin's just as good looking as Jim, and he's a little younger as well, okay? You just fell into
yeah,
this guy's
younger,
arm.
Definitely, so.
Hey, Martin,
you know,
let me ask you something.
No, and I know we're just playing. I know this isn't like a real call. I'm sure Martin does a great job, but Jim just has this confidence. Like, I don't have to talk to you, but I'm willing to talk to you if you're willing to talk to me. You know, you can just tell that he's comfortable in his
Martin's
skin and he's comfortable making the pitch, and that makes me want to listen.
Okay.
There's a lot to take away from that. I mean.
Okay, Martin, let's move on. Anybody else got a question for Martin? Nope. Okay.
Martin, do you work by yourself or are you with another agency?
I'm with an agency.
Okay.
Across Canada.
Uh-huh. And
okay.
Why don't you work for yourself? You seem to have confidence.
He hasn't been in the business long enough. He's only been in the business
a year. Who? I'm asking him, not you.
Well,
not
Martin,
been in
if you move to Dallas, call me because I'd hire you.
Yeah. So why is it that you're sticking with this company and not taking
They've got a lot of resources. I mean,
okay.
They've got a good brand in the area that we're in. We've got some great clients that we work with.
Okay.
And, no, there's no reason to. Absolutely no reason to, so.
All right.
Do we
10
want
years
to try
from
to
now? Start? Who knows?
Yeah, okay. Cool. Thanks for answering my question, even though Animal wanted to answer it for you.
Is the majority of your listeners on their own? Or are they own their own individual sort of mom and pop?
Mix of Amy works for Microsoft in Seattle.
Okay.
I'd say the majority are third party recruiters, and lots of them are working on their own. Okay. If you would have listened to the show once before you actually took the time to come on, you know, you might have figured that out for yourself.
This dude's
okay.
Too busy making placements to be listening to stupid old Animal reruns.
Well,
man.
Let me ask him a question. Why do most of your candidates move? What's the motivation? Jerry's got a very clear idea of what makes people move. Do you have a clear idea, Martin, of why people move?
It's the pain, generally. Either the opportunity for a better organization, which isn't necessarily difficult in the industrial industry because they're always changing so much. That or the fact that, you know, somebody else got a better shot at, you know, management, or they've been overlooked, or they've seen a ceiling. The industrial arena and market as a whole, I mean, with the major full-line distributors, so the guys that sell everything rather than just ball bearings, you can move around between five or six companies and still haven't even scratched the surface for opportunities, because in my industry at least, people move, they go into the distributors and they want to sell everything, and then they like a few products that they sell, and their ultimate goal, everybody's always talking about, I want to work for the manufacturer now.
So yeah, I understand. So they could be with a retailer, the distributor, then move up to the manufacturer. Okay, let me ask you something. So you were doing this kind of job yourself before. What insight do you have from being a performer yourself that you take when you're assessing a candidate? What do you look for? What are your key questions? How do you assess a good performer?
I just have a conversation with them about the industry and who they're selling to. And it's easier to tell when somebody's actually a performer versus somebody that's trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I mean, simply put, I've hired my sales team when I was running a store. I've worked with national accounts, so when I'm talking to somebody that's an industrial national accounts manager, I know the clients that they've probably dealt with, because I'm really only working on local roles in Ontario. And, you know, if they come back to me and say, oh, yeah, I work with this client, I know if they are or they aren't, just because I've worked in the industry. And I can call up a few friends and, you know, 5 minutes after the phone call and just qualify if that actually was the case.
Isn't that betraying a confidence that the candidate, you're letting people know that this guy's, you know, ready to move?
No. I'm not asking them that.
He's finding out if the
I'm
guy's a liar.
I'm asking whether or not the organizations even have, you know, penetration into that account.
Okay.
So
you want to know that.
Actually doing
that's any... one thing. So I'm asking you how you assess people. That's one thing. What else do you use? And I want to find out what you're bringing from.
I'm asking them what their sales process is, how they work an account, how, you know. So when you go into a brand-new client, what's your conversation with them? How are you talking? Who are you talking to? Are you talking to the purchasing manager? Are you talking to – because some distributors prefer a bottom-up approach in sales where the candidate is selling to, say, the warehouse receiver first, and then they work their way up to the top. And other companies like – candidates that sell from the top down, going straight to the CEO and selling a service package, selling the whole gamut of opportunities right from the get-go, and it's a larger contract right off the bat. So
yeah,
there's a big difference between the two.
I'm kind of losing
so
the losing track.
I want to understand.
I feel like I've asked you everything already. Is there anything else that I should ask you before we move on to Jerry's show?
I'm not ready for my show. It's 12:52. I've got 8 minutes, dude.
I'm kind of tired.
Don't do this to me.
Why not? You'll get away faster. You can go back to, you know, the Facebook search graph.
It's my new thing.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm kind of running out of steam. Yeah?
Animal. Mike Astringer just said that you guys should be concerned enough about him and miss him enough so that he comes back.
You know, Mike insulted me.
Oh,
I'm willing to overlook that. If he wants to come back, he's welcome. I'm not going to beg him. You know, I was.
So
I was
he's
a good
got you asking if you can, if he can come back.
No,
I didn't even know I was doing the show until this morning. To be honest with you,
we're not talking about you now. We're talking about somebody else. Okay.
No, he didn't ask me to say that.
Business development, or is he just on the recruiting side?
What?
Good question.
Do biz dev? Go ahead, Amy. You ask him. I'm tired. Go ahead.
Hi, Martin. Do you do business development as well, or do you just recruit for existing accounts?
It's a 360 desk, so I've got 2-3 hours of business development in the morning, and then the rest of it is focusing on the roles that I've got.
And how do you do business development? Are you pitching candidates? Are you pitching your awesome firm? Like, what does that call look like? We don't have to role play because Animal's tired, but...
No, I'm pitching candidates that I've met exclusively already. So if I meet a candidate that I don't necessarily...
What? I missed that. What?
If I meet a candidate that I don't necessarily have anything... Yeah.
Okay.
I'll market a candidate to, their competitor. I probably have, on average, 3 or 4 candidates that I'm working with and say, listen, I'm going to market you as much as I can. So that's part of my business development. And then there's cold call business development where I'm reaching out to organizations that appreciate the fact that I understand the industry, which is
how often does the marketing call, the candidate marketing call result in a send out?
Probably. I've just started doing the marketing call, so I got one this morning. As far as overall, I would say 1 in 20.
Okay, listen.
Okay, I think that's actually pretty good.
Hold on. This is the way we'll end this portion of the show. I want you to do a marketing call to Amy, the same one you did this morning. You know it already.
Oh, so I'm a plant manager now? Is that what I am?
Whatever. He'll tell you who you are.
A plant manager in Seattle. Remember that. A plant manager in Seattle.
Okay, I'm down in SoDa. Oh, we're very nice, so it probably will go well for you, Martin, but carry on.
Hey, Amy, it's Martin. I've got a candidate that I wanted to talk to you about. Grew their business from $800 million to $2 billion in the last 3 years. They're looking to make a change. And if they're not going to make a change to your organization, it's going to be one of your competitors. And I wanted to chat with you briefly before I go and call any of your competitors.
Click.
Didn't like it.
I'm terrible with these role-playing things, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, I understand
Young
that.
Durbin,
no, I won't
have...
be handcuffed. I mean, as a hiring manager, no. That's cool. Call my competitor. I'm kicking their ass already. It's all good. Go ahead and call them. They need the help. I don't.
Fucking awesome.
Jim, you can have them.
It's time for my show, Animal.
Martin, just because you don't know anything about this show, you have to sign off now. I have to sign off. We're going to go to Jerry.
Yeah, that's
Martin.
The process here.
Oh, my God. Thank you for coming on.
Well, that was
interesting. That's interesting.
Somebody has a good hold again.
Doesn't have a Pretty in Pink soundtrack? Which was a good album, by the way. Hey, who all's
great
here, eh?
I'm here. All is here.
Hey, this is Michael down in San Antonio.
Yeah, hey, man. How's it going, Michael?
Going well. Keeping busy.
Yeah. Who else is here? Amy, Jim, Michael. I thought I heard Blake on the call.
You did. I'm busy.
Hey, dude, the paleo diet, man. I'm doing a 30-day paleo. Now, I know it's a lifestyle change, but I can't go in for all that. I'm going to do 30 days and see where we get with it.
Good stuff, right?
Had a nice omelet with some ham on it last night. Yeah.
Lots of cheese.
Yep. I need to ditch about 20 pounds, maybe 25 if I'm lucky. We've been watching on Netflix the series Heavy. Have you seen that?
Squats and kettlebells, Jerry. Squats and kettlebells.
Trying to scare myself straight before it's too late. Blake, what did you think about the show and the guest?
I kind of actually felt a little sorry for the guy.
He handled it well, though.
As soon as he did a role play with Amy, I was like, "Oh shit!" Yeah. That's probably more education to our industry than he's been exposed to since he started recruiting us.
Yeah, I don't like the role playing stuff really much anyway, because each call is different, really, isn't it? That's when Animal he's out of material. You could tell he was tired. He was ready to move on. Hey, let's role play.
That's code for Amy. Please save the show.
Yeah.
I mean, he at least tried it, so.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people that just wouldn't do it.
I won't do it. I don't like it.
We don't have to. We've paid those dues, Jared.
Yes. I pay other people to role play for me.
Yep.
I don't want to. It's still a family show.
That's kind of, yes, it is, isn't it? So, Blake, how about a couple of scores for the show? One for Animal and one for the guest.
I'll give Elmo an 85, and then the guest, I'm going to give him an 80, just because at the very beginning he introduced you to something you hadn't been exposed to yet.
You know, see, on that Facebook thing, I mean, I've tried it before, and I was digging around on it. It's just another way to find people that you can contact some
yep.
other way.
Well, I know, but it was
different.
Interesting.
It's just a different pool.
You know, got you excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm seeing people that I haven't seen in a search that I've been doing for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
You know, right in my own backyard,
yeah.
so that's cool with me.
Right.
Believe it. Believe it. Jim Durbin, give
yes,
us your
sir.
Assessment of what you thought went down today.
I would have liked to see more energy from the guy, of course, but I really
he was
liked
ill. He was sick.
Yeah, I'm not really sure a fan of what happened on the show, but I was a fan of the guy because I think he's got enough old school doing the work.
Yeah, man, I love it.
Trying stuff. You know, he's kind of the future because he's willing to try this stuff. But he's not
yep.
like, ooh, Facebook solves all my problems. I mean, he clearly gets on the phone. He meets candidates. You know, I
yeah, and
I
some
did.
Of the stuff he's like, no, man, it's just a, you know, a fallback measure. But, yeah, you post your jobs. You look on Facebook. You, yeah,
willing
love
to try
it.
Stuff, but he's still learning the business, which
yep.
is great. So I'd say I give him an 85. I'd give Animal 75. Animal didn't seem like he was really that into it. Which
he
is,
was
you know, kind of like
flat.
Yeah.
See, Animal planned on a bad show, and I almost felt like he was trying to drag it down. It's weird, but...
Yeah, he tried to get out early.
Yep.
yep.
Michael Cox.
Yes, sir.
Give us rate the show today for us.
All right. Well, actually, I'm an internal recruiter. I focus on recruiting salespeople. So I was really looking forward to it when I saw what this guy was doing.
Yeah.
The I've done and used the graph search, but it's nice for finding entry level salespeople. But I was more interested in maybe learning about where he finds phone numbers because, you know, I can only call my competitors at their offices so much before I start receiving, you know, letters from their internal counsel telling me to calm down with that stuff.
You ought to send them back the letter from Silicon Valley that talks about they're not allowed to do that. There's a class action of IT developers saying that you're not allowed to tell me I can't call your people.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. You said because Google and all those people said, listen, we can't do this. Google and Microsoft and others, they figured that they artificially depressed wages. You're not allowed to. It's price fixing with salaries.
Okay.
So if some lawyer sends it to you, you laugh it off. And you
oh, yeah.
It back
you know,
yeah.
What I do that, and I'll send it to our internal counsel and you know, give them a heads up. And if they want to, you know, call me off, then I'll stay away from that competitor. But that's never been the case. But what? Just curious, where could I find that? Just, you know, for fun's sake, share that with our competitors when they give us that.
Search Silicon Valley class action. And it'll be the top of the news. It just filed for it not a week ago, I think. But if you're looking for numbers, Marine has all those, but you'd be surprised how much you can pull out from Google by putting in one number of one of the sales. If you know one number there that's not the main number, you can easily pull up the rest.
Okay. No, yeah, I've done that, and unfortunately, in this industry, most of these folks don't have their number published in most places. Anyhow, it was an okay call. Didn't learn very much. I had already done graph searching and all that. I was cringing when he was going through that role play. Both of those examples were just terrible. And maybe he was nervous. He was overwhelmed by the friendly group. But I would say I'd give him a 75 and Animal an 80. It was a, you know, he threw somebody into the shark tank that maybe didn't deserve that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many salespeople are you hiring a year, Michael?
Boy. Last year I brought on about 35.
Mm-hmm. So is it, I mean, is that all you're doing all the time, and so you're always going over the same ground and looking for new places, or
no, well,
or just new approaches for the same ground?
It's kicked up. I mean, that 35 was people that actually stayed on for the full year last year. I brought on quite a few more. Right now I've got about 20, maybe 25 open recs in, just for sales, but across the state. The organization has grown pretty quickly. So
is it phone sales you're doing?
No, this is outside sales. This is the copier, printer, and IT managed services industry. So it's outside salespeople. We're looking for hunters, not farmers, kind of thing.
You know, I've had this little trick I've been doing because I've been talking to a lot of sales folks lately, and I haven't been working any recs, but I've been talking to their internals. If you put you go to Google and you get a Google Voice number, or you get a Bumber or Vonage or something, and you get a specific number, and at the very bottom of the job posting, at the very, very bottom, you point out that if they're really salespeople, they'll call you. Because most of these guys, they're just blasting off resumes. So the guy you want is the one who calls you. So you put it at the very bottom and make it hard to find. And then you see, and then if you don't have your original phone, you tie it to a voicemail box that can send it to you. So you can determine. It's just a way of tracking that's different. But it will take those people who take that extra step. And it's great for your internal managers because you can brag on what they did. Which means your internal managers already think the guy's a hotshot, who at least reads the job description and doesn't just... I mean, what salesperson sends a resume to get hired? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. No, well, most do. I absolutely agree. Those that have, burned a few calories to find my contact information and call me directly are certainly the ones that are a lot easier to sell to my internal sales managers. So, I appreciate that.
Cool.
It works great. I'm surprised at the impact.
Yeah.
You know, just make them do it.
Yeah. If you're a real salesperson, you'll call this number.
Amy, what do you think about the show?
Oh, he's a sweet boy.
Yeah.
I think he'll be all right. It started really slow. I mean, I know he was sick and everything, but, it's like he wasn't taking it seriously, like he was too cool for the animal show or something. You know, like, oh, yeah, I'm here because animal needs a favor, yawn. I don't know. That kind of didn't start off well. But, you know, I think he's new. He's learning. We were all young and arrogant and making threatening marketing calls at some point in our career, I'm sure. He'll get over it. He'll be fine. If he lasts another couple of years, he'll be just fine. We're all going to want to hire him in about 3 years.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm going to give him an 75.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give Animal 70. Animal tried to cut the show short, and I'm still very wounded by the time he did that to me when I was a guest. All of a sudden, we're gone. It was the worst kind of rejection.
Don't you guys have, like, some kind of parade for your football team today?
We
to go to?
Yes.
So, I mean, today's a good day to cut it short, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to make up for lost time at work.
Yeah, I guess. I have to make an offer today so I can maintain my spot.
Don't forget the tourniquet if you're
going
to go to the parade.
Oh, I'm not going. I'm staying on the east side, but I am going to watch it on TV. I know. I thought about it. I really struggled with whether I should go or not. I'm pretty sure all of my coworkers are because I don't see anyone here. Well, maybe one guy. Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
You know, I tell you, being a Colts fan, I was all about seeing Peyton Manning win. But I've got to say, that was the worst Super Bowl game I've seen in years. It was like...
That's funny, because it was the best I've seen in
years.
Oh,
I know. Oh, absolutely. So outside of Seattle, everybody was thinking, at least I'll check out the commercials, you know?
Yeah, it was. My kids actually did, they impersonated Peyton Manning in that missed snap. It's fabulous. It's on Facebook, if anyone wants to see it. It's 11 seconds.
I was shocked. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. What just happened there? Yeah, that was crazy.
I don't know, it's too loud. He's got PTSD from the noise, like Kaepernick.
You would have wanted a little closer game, though, wouldn't you? I mean,
I was hoping for it. Well, like the 49ers game, the NFC Championship, that was a phenomenal game because it was so close and right down to the last, 42 seconds or whatever. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed. But then, you know, because Seattle teams are such epic choke artists, I was stressed out until, like, the end of the third quarter. Mm. And finally my husband's like, do the math. They cannot come back. But, yeah, great game. It's going to be a good day.
All right, everybody. Well, you all have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye, y'all.
Bye,
all. You can all keep chatting. I'm just going to hang up. I got a business call. So feel free to do whatever you want. I'm not your parent.
Oh, we're looking ahead, and the future does not look good for LinkedIn.
Awesome.
You're the one that's fucked up here, not me!